Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Tzadi Hei. We begin on the bottom of Tzadi Dalamud Beis, four lines from the bottom, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. We spoke about different types of self-care, of body care, as the Gemara brings from the Mishnah that says V'chein HaGoydeles, similarly a woman that braids her hair, and it spoke about Kecheles and Pekeses, different things that a woman does to herself, that they paint their eyes, or that they fix their hair, different things that they do. So now the Gemara is going to discuss exactly why, what is this chiv that our Mishnah speaks about? There was a machlekes if it's deraisa or medrabanan, but what are these things liable for? What are you doing wrong when, for example, you braid your hair? So the Gemara explains that koideles, which is braiding the hair, koicheles, and painting the eye, upakeses, and fixing the hair, mishumai mechaiva, why are you liable for these three things? What are you doing wrong that it's asra and Shabbos? Again, whether deraisa or drabanan. So Amr b'Avin, Amr b'Reza b'Chanina, Kuydeles mishum eireges. The problem with braiding the hair is that that is equivalent to weaving. And that's what you do, you're weaving things together, although generally weaving is with string. This you're doing the equivalent of weaving with one's hair. Kuycheles mishum kaiseves. The problem with painting, that painting around the eye, some type of makeup, is because that's for the same problem of writing. And that is when one person, when they paint around the eye, that's the equivalent like a person that traces around the letter, like sometimes they do when they're writing the last letters in the Sefer Torah, so they trace around. That's what you're doing, and you're tracing around the eye with the makeup. Therefore, you're going to be liable for writing. And pekeses mishum toiva, and the problem of fixing one's hair is going to be because of spinning. Now, Rashi originally brought two pshatim, and Rashi here also explains that there's two interpretations of pekeses, that according to the one that says that's because that she fixes her hair, that is, she does it with her fingers, and she puts her fingers through her hair, and she untangles it, and that is similarly to spinning, which is that she fixing the hair that it is, that's the same thing as spinning. And according to the other interpretation, that it meant taking dough and putting it on the face and then taking it off, and then you have this red complexion, that is because they would take the dough and make some type of strings out of it. That's like spinning again, which is the process of making strings. Here also, you're making separate strings by taking your fingers and pulling out through, and that would be the same thing if you put on the dough, that they would make strings out of it. That's the reason why these three things, although they're body care and they're not things of what would seem general malachis, but that is their equivalent in their own right. And this the Gemara asks, Amar Rabbanan Kamed Rabbavo, V'chiderech Hariga B'kach, is that the way you weave? Meaning when you're braiding here, that's considered weaving? V'chiderech Ksiv B'kach, is that the way you write? That painting around the eye is considered like as if you're writing? V'chiderech Tviya B'kach, is that the way that you spin? I mean, pulling your fingers through your hair, that now you're separating the strands and now you have separate strings, that's considered spinning? In other words, how could Rabbalaza hold that you're chayav achatas? That although maybe you could say it's a drabanan, that it seems like it, and therefore on some level it is, but how can you say these are the malachas deraisas that Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah says you're going to be chayav achatas for doing these activities? So therefore, Elamar Ravo, he says a different shot. I heard an explanation from Rabbi Chanina, and continue on to the top of Tzadi Hei Yemen Aleph, a different shot in these three activities for the self hygiene, self care, why they were considered malachas deraisas. Kecheles mishum tzevas. The problem about painting, using the eye makeup, because that's dyeing. You're dyeing your skin. That's that malacha. Kuydelus upakeses mishum baina. The braiding the hair and fixing the hair, according to that interpretation, is because that's considered building. And that is, you're building your hair by braiding it. You're making something, an edifice, although it's with one's hair. And same thing is with the fixing. That's the problem with baina. To which the Gemara asks, v'chiderech binyan b'kach? Same as we asked before. That's considered building. That's not building when you're braiding the hair. And that thing Gemara says, no, in. Yes, braiding is building, as we find a parallel for this. Kedidarish Reb Shimon ben Manasseh says in the pasuk in Bereishis, "V'yivin Hashem alikim es tzelem," that Hashem built the side that He took from Adam and made Chava out of that side. So the Gemara says a drasha. What does it mean? Hashem built. Malamet shekila Kodesh Baruch Hu lechava v'hevi etzel Adam. What happens is, at least according to the interpretation that says that a man and woman were created one androgynous being. So what does it mean he built Chava? Chava is already built. So the explanation is that he went and he braided her hair and brought her to Adam. And so how does that fit into the terminology of the pasuk of that he built her? She came b'krocha ayoyim currently kliyasa b'niyasa, because as we find in the cities by the sea, that they call a braider a builder. And as we know that all the different languages all emanate from Lashon HaKodesh, and therefore we can give an explanation from the fact that it says binyan, as we find in one of the other languages that building is equivalent, is called braiding. Therefore, when it says over there by Chava, it says building, it really meant that he braided her hair. And similarly here also, that braiding one's hair will be the malacha of binyan, of building, and that's why Rabbi Elazar says you're going to be chayav achatas. So related to this, the Gemara brings Tanya within the Braisa. If Shimon Elaza Omer, Goydeles, Koycheles, or Pekeses, regarding these three malachas that we spoke about, La'atzma Patur, if she does it for herself, then she's exempt, because she can't do it that well, and that's not the way of what's called binyan that we're calling it. Rather, L'chaver T'chayeves, when she does it for her friend, then she's going to be liable, because when your friend, you're braiding her hair, you could see, like a mommy does for her daughter, she could do a good job braiding her hair, but to braid your own hair, you're not going to be able to do such a good job, that's not going to be considered binyan. But when you do it for your friend, then you're going to be chayv. V'chein, and also another halacha regarding an isra that it's applicable on Shabbos, Hayim Shimon Elaza Oimim Mishum Reb Elaza, Isha Lo Tavis Srak Al Paneh, a woman should not put rouge on her face, that's like some type of a red dye. The reason is Menesha Tzavas, because she's dying, as we mentioned before, these type of makeup is considered Tzeveya, that you're dying on your skin. So now the Gemara continues with other different Tailadas similar to the type of Malachas that was spoken about in our Mishnah. Talking about learning the Braisa. Hachoy Levis, regarding someone that milks on Shabbos. Vaha Mechavetz. And there's two interpretations in Rashi and what Mechavetz is. Either it's that it's you go ahead and you curdle the milk in one of the stomachs of the cow. That's with the rennet. That's how it creates this product called cheese. And some say it is that they used to make these baskets made out of reeds, and they would put this congealed milk inside of it, and the what's called meichel of the water of the milk, which that is the called nasyuvi dechava, that's the whey that comes out of the milk, that would drip out. That was the malacha mechabit, that they wanted to get that milk part, not the heavy, thick, creamy, cheesy part. That was mechabit. V'hamagavin, or someone that makes cheese. So the isser is kegregris, the shear to be chayiv for these malachas, or if you do it in the amount of a dried fig. The Braisa continues, hamechabit, someone that sweeps the house. V'hamirabit, and someone that lays the dust. That is, he puts water down on the dust that it shouldn't come up into the ear because their floors were made out of dust. So they would put down water to keep it down. That it shouldn't be, you know, if it gets a certain type of moisture in the ear, it'll come up and it'll be suffocating to the people. V'harei d'chalas devash, and someone that removes chalas, loaves of honey, which literally means honeycombs. Shogig b'shabes chayev chatas. So if he did it inadvertently on Shabbos, he's going to be liable for chatas. And the Gemara later is going to explain that what's wrong with taking down honeycombs on Shabbos, what are you doing, is that you'll be chayev because of taylish, as the Gemara will explain, for uprooting something from where it is. And sweeping the house and laying the dust on the ground by putting water down it is a problem of boin, because you're building, that you're completing the edifice of the house by fixing the floor, because again, their floors are made out of earth, that it would stay down, that's a problem of boin. Hazed b'yamtiv loikar bum. If you did it intentionally on yamtiv, then you're liable for malchus of 39 malchus. Div Reb Elazar, that's the opinion of Reb Elazar. B'chacham oimrim echad zeh ve'echad zeh. Either one, meaning either Shabbos or yamtiv, in el meshuvos, the most it is isad rabbanim. And that is because maybe that when you're going to be sweeping or laying the dust, that it's going to gather and it's going to fill up the holes that are in the house by itself, and then it'll be binyan. But it's not on its own binyan. It's only concerned that it might happen. That's why it's a shvus isad rabbanim. But it's not, as the opinion mentioned before, of Reb Elazar, that it's going to be isad reis. So the Gemara brings a story related to this. Rav Nachman bar Gurya ikel Nadah. He went to the town of Nadah. Boim Neda asked him the questions of the brisa that we had mentioned before. Chaylev mishum mai mechayev. Why is someone liable for milking a Shabbos? What's wrong with milking? Amlo mishum chaylev. The problem is of milking. That's the problem. They asked him, mechabitz mishum mai mechayev. What's the problem with straining milk? As we said, that they had these wicker baskets and they would take out the water that would drip out of it. That's the way. What's the problem with doing that on Shabbos? Amlo mishum mechabitz. Problem is because of straining milk. Okay, so they asked him, megab mishum mechayev. What's the problem with making cheese on Shabbos? Because you're doing the malacha megabin. This is what I learned in yeshiva. These are the things that are a problem. You're doing megabin. So Amali, they said to him, Rabuch, your teacher, kotel koni ba'agmahava. They said like a type of a phrase that your teacher was a reed cutter in the swamps. In other words, he does not explain the Mishnah. Yeah, we understand that this is Aster, but why is it Aster? Where is it coming from? What are the sources? So Aster Shol Bimya Joshua came to the Beis HaMidrash and he asked, what's Takab Shad? Why are these things Aster? So Amali, they said to him, Choylev Chai Mishmef Farik. The problem about milking on Shabbos is, of course, it's the problem of extracting, of mefarik. When you're extracting the food item from the place where it's concealed, that is a terlada, that's a derivative from the malach of dush, of threshing, which is when you thresh, you go ahead and you knock the thing of grain and then you pop out the grain that's inside the chaff that surrounds it. That's dush, that's threshing. Similarly here, anything that takes out an item, for example, the milk from the udder of the cow, you're taking it out from the thing that's surrounded it. You don't want it. That's called mefarik, that's extracting it. Mechavitz chayv mishum bar. The problem about sifting the milk, of straining it, that's a problem of bar, of selecting. And that is when you take a food item from what's called psoilis, the undesired part. That's the same thing over here. When you're dripping out the milk, you're taking out, you're selecting what you want for, and leaving the rest. That's a problem of bar, of selecting. And the third one, megabin chayv mishum bar, the problem about making cheese on Shabbos is because of building. You're creating a new entity. You had something that was a liquid, and you turned it into a solid piece of cheese. That's a problem of bein on Shabbos. So now we mentioned before, hamachabit, someone that sweeps the house on Shabbos, or hamarabit, so someone that lays the dust on Shabbos. V'horei d'chal z'dvash, and if someone takes down honeycombs on Shabbos, that shogeg b'Shabbos chayv chatas, if he did it intentionally, if he did it inadvertently on Shabbos, he's liable for chatas. Hezid b'yamtiv loikarbom, but if he did it intentionally, even on yamtiv, he's liable for the 40, which is the 39 malchus that one gets for doing an Esu Deiraisa. So the Rebbe Elazar, because he holds his Deiraisa. And the Chamagri, as we said, that they say that it's only Esu Rabban. However, the Gemara says, Omer Belazar, my Tamid Rebbe Elazar. Don't confuse the two. Rebbe Elazar is an Amoyer. And he's explaining the opinion of the Tana Rebbe Elazar. What's the understanding of his opinion regarding taking down the honeycombs on Shabbos? What are you doing wrong? You're not ripping, you're not carrying, it could be in Rosh Hashanah. What are you doing wrong? So the Chsevi says, he quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Alf. That says v'yitbol oisu beyaras hadvash, that he dipped it into the forest of the honey. Now this is a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perkei Dal pasuk of Zayin that says that v'yonison loyshama b'hashbia avves am, that Yonison didn't hear when his father made an oath to the nation saying that you're not allowed to go ahead and eat. What he did was he stuck the tip of his stick in his hand and he stuck it into what was called the yaras hadvash, the forest of the honey, which was literally a honeycomb. And he went and he put it to his mouth and his eyes lit up. Oh, he had food. He woke up. So the question is, what does a forest have to do with a honey? Why are we calling a honeycomb a forest of honey? Elohim L'cha is coming to teach you the following halacha. That Ma Yar had toilish mimen the b'Shabbos chayv chatas, just like a forest. If someone rips out something from the forest, a tree, a grass, whatever it is on Shabbos, he's liable for chatas. Avchal's d'vash, harei d'min b'Shabbos chayv chatas, coming to teach you that lesson. That if someone takes down, He takes down the honeycomb from where it is on Shabbos, that although it seems like it's not connected, that's going to make him liable for Shabbos, because we equate it in the pasuk to a forest, and therefore he's chayav achat, it's an issa deiraisa. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now the Gemara continues with the merabits, which is laying the dust on Shabbos. So the Gemara brings a story that Amemer shori zilcha b'mechuzah. Amemer permitted the sprinkling, that is to settle the dust on Shabbos, because there the floors were made out of stone, similar to all the domesticated, all the industrial nations where they have the floors are not made out of dust and dirt, rather it's made out of stone or whatever the floor is. So he permitted them to settle the dust. So Amar, time of Maimar Ban, he says, what was the reason why the Ban said that it's usher to do this on Shabbos, of settling the dust? Dilma asila shvuyi gumis, because you might come to, go ahead again, we're going according to the opinion of the Ban that says only the Ban, you might come to smooth out the pits. And then you're going to be up on the Issa Deiraisa of Bain, because now you're fixing the house, you're fixing the floor. Here there are no pits. Here we have tiles, we have linoleum, we have wood, whatever it is. And therefore there's no concern for that, so therefore there's no Issa Deiraban, and you're allowed to go ahead and be merabits and settle the dust on the floor. The Gemara brings another story related to this halacha. That Rava Tesva Ashkechi L'Ravina Dukomet Star Mahavla. Rava found that Ravina was being disturbed, it was bothering him from the ear. That the dust was going up to the ear, and there was a lot of congested ear, and he couldn't breathe well. But Amri Law, and some say it was Marka Shisha Berei the Rava, that Ashkechil Rav Ashi, the Komet Star Mahavla, that he found Rav Ashi that was bothered from the ear. Either way, Omalei Li Savala Mar Lohadatani says, you're bothered by this, there's a way out of this, you can fix this problem. Although you can't be Merabits on Shabbos, but there was an Eitzah, an advice that was given in the following Braisa. This is Haritz L'Rabbis is based on Shabbos. Someone wants to sell the dust in his house on Shabbos. What does he do? So there's a way around the Isser. Maybe Arevi Malay Maim, he brings a pitcher full of water. V'reichetz Ponem Bezavazu, he washes his face in this corner. Yada Bezavazu, he washes his hands in this corner. And Raglav Bezavazu, his feet in this corner. Now, in other words, you go around to all the different places of the thing, and you wash your hands, that you're allowed to do. V'nimtza Habayis Misrabetz Melev, and it comes out that the house has the dust settled by itself, because you're not pouring water directly on the floor. That's a problem, because once you're doing that, you might come to fix the floor. But washing your hands, you're allowed to do it, and their houses, which was full of dust, now if you do all these different washing hands and feet and legs and all these different areas in different places, you're going to settle the dust. So Malay said to him, Lava Daitoi, you're right, I wasn't mindful, I didn't remember this halacha, but that's a great idea, that's the way I could do it, to take care of the dust. Similarly, the Gemara brings Tanur Lehen, the Braisa, Isha Chachama, a wise woman, which interestingly Rashi says means the wife of a Talmud Chacham, or the daughter of a Talmudic scholar that she heard this from her father. Marbetzis beis b'Shabbos. She can settle the dust of her house on Shabbos. As we said, because she could wash the dishes in this corner, she could wash the cups in that corner, and she'll do the same type of idea, thereby settling the dust on Shabbos. However, the Gemara concludes as follows. V'idna, but today, the Svir Lan Krib Shimon, the halacha follows that we hold like Krib Shimon, that he says that something that you davashain meskaven, that you didn't intend to do, that that's mutter. So therefore, someone that's settling the dust, he's not intending to stick the earth into the pits, into the holes in the floor, and to smooth it out. Rather, just doesn't want the dust to rise into the air. So therefore, the Gemara says, Sharia filikatchila. So therefore, you even initially allowed to go ahead and do it, and you don't have to do this eitz of the shtick, so to speak, to go ahead and wash your hands there and wash your face there, that it should do it. You can even go ahead and do it. Because that's not what you're not intending to settle to go ahead and fill up the things, fill up the holes in the ground, and therefore that's considered something that you're not intending to do. Davish in Meskaven, Davish in Meskaven. Rabbi Shimon holds his mutter, so therefore you're allowed to go ahead and even initially go ahead and settle the dust on Shabbos. So Gemara continues now with the following Mishnah that speaks about a flower pot related to the halacha of Teilish of ripping up something which is asur, not to rip out something that's attached to the ground. So the question is regarding a flower pot which is not in the ground but rather in a pot. So the Mishnah begins. Someone that plucks something that's growing, that's connected, whether a flower or a tomato, whatever it is, from a perforated pot. So therefore here, we're talking about that it's not connected to the ground, however, yet it gets its nourishment from the ground. Chayv, he is liable, because that's like it's attached. Because again, like we said, because it draws its nourishment from the ground through the hole, that it gets the moisture coming through. So even if the hole's on the side of the wall, it doesn't make a difference. It gets in through there. Therefore, you're liable for ripping out the thing on Shabbos. However, she'en enak of pata, but if there's no hole, there's no perforation, then you're pata because, again, it has nothing to do with the ground. It's only with the soil that's in the pot because it's totally blocked from the ground. However, Reb Shimon paita b'zeh b'zeh, Shimon says that you're exempt in either case. It doesn't make a difference if there's no perforation or even if there is a perforation. Either way, we view it as tolish, as a detached from the ground. So the Gemara discusses the opinion of Reb Shimon. Rami le Abai le Rav, Abai posed the following contradiction to Rav. Some say Reb Chiya bar Rav le Rav. So now we learn in our Mishnah, Reb Shimon paita b'zeh b'zeh. Reb Shimon says it doesn't make a difference. It's in the pot, it's not in the ground, it's not part of the ground, you rip it up, you take it out, it's not toilish because it has nothing to do with the ground even when there's a hole. Alma nakav le Reb Shimon, k'shein nakav mashvelei. So obviously we see that according to Reb Shimon, that when it has a hole, it's the same as when it doesn't have the hole. They're the same thing, doesn't make a difference, they're both considered fully detached. We have the following contradiction. We learned, Reb Shimon Omer, Ein bein nokav l'she'en nokav. There is no difference between if there's a hole or not a hole. However, we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Braisa says, El hachshar zroam b'levad. The only place where there is a difference is to prepare the seeds for the halachas of tumah. That is, if you have seeds that are planted inside this pot, so then if it's a perforated pot, then it's not going to be makabel what's called hechsher for tumah, that it's susceptible and vulnerable to tumah, because we view it as if it is attached because it has a hole. However, if there's no hole, then it's susceptible to hechsher of tumah because it's considered detached, and therefore this item is a fully food item. It's not like something that's growing in the ground which we can't use. It's a fully food item. You could eat the seeds, and therefore this seed will be susceptible to tumah. So therefore, the question is, you see that they're not the same. We see on some level that if it's ein nakav, that we're going to see that it's fully detached, but if it is nakav, that it's considered attached to the sense that it's not going to mekabel tumah. And yet in our Mishnah, it sounds like he's equating the two of them. And that the Gemara says, Amalei, l'chol mi the truth is for everything. For the halachas of Shabbos, regarding if you're over on toilish, or to acquire it with drawing, with mashicha, and not with money, which is the way you acquire karka, or for prusbel, which is something that's only written if you have a plot of land, then Reb Shimon could tolish mashvelei. Truth is, Reb Shimon considers even the atzis nakev, a perforated flower pot, the same thing as if it's uprooted, that's not connected to the ground. Same thing as if it has no hole at all. However, yeah, you're asking me from the Braisa that seems to say that there is a difference. V'shani l'inyan tumah, but there is a difference regarding the halachas of tumah, that there, if it has a hole, if it has a nekev, then it would be considered like it's attached to the ground. Why is that different? Tahara rips at tahara itzel zroim, because the Torah added tahara with respect to seeds. Shanem, like there's a pasuk in Mayikra that says, I'll call zera zeruah sheyizara, that regarding every sowing seed that will be sown. And the words asher yizar, that will be sown, are extra words. What's it necessary to say? It already says on every sowing seed. So that comes to teach you the way that people take out seeds to be planted, which excludes anything that's attached in the slightest fashion, that is, it's not a seed that's being taken out to sown if it's somewhat attached to the ground. And therefore, these extra words, zerias, these extra words, zerias on the pasuk, come to teach us this halacha, that even if it's just has a hole and it's not in the ground, but since in that sense that it draws its nourishment, in that sense we consider, because there's extra words, zera, telling us something, that for that it will be considered attached. However, if there's no hole at all, so then obviously that's totally detached, and that's why that's what Reb Shimon said. Yeah, that is going to be makabel hechsher for tumah, because that's totally detached. But if there's a hole, that's the extra words of zera that it says in the pasuk to teach us this lesson, and for that we will consider it mechubah. However, that's not a difficulty in our Mishnah, which was talking about the halachas of Shabbos, that there, and in regards to all other halachas besides tumah, Reb Shimon considers, even if it has a hole, the same as if it doesn't have a hole, that is detached and it's not considered attached to the ground. So the Gemara continues elaborating on the opinion of Reb Shimon. There was this elder that asked the following question from Reb Zera. Shoyush keneged nekev. If the root of this plant that's in this flower pot is directly opposite the hole that's there, which is facing the ground, Mali Amr Reb Shimon, what would Reb Shimon tell me in such a case? Would he agree over there that that would be considered as if it's attached to the ground because the root is directly facing the ground, the hole that's there, and therefore if you rip it off on Shabbos, you're going to be chayv? Or maybe not. Maybe because Reb Shimon says it doesn't make a difference where the hole is. Holes don't help. It has to be actually in the ground. So Ishtik v'lo yimalei v'limit. He was quiet and he didn't say anything. He didn't resolve his question. Another time, this elder went and they found Reb Zera that was sitting and saying the following halach. Reb Shimon agrees that if the hole is as big that it would make the kli tar, that then we would view the seeds and the plants inside as if they are attached to the ground. That is, if the keli would become tar, if it was tame and it had a certain break that's large enough to make the kli tar. That is the size of if an olive would be able to come out of that kli. As the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim in Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph says, that a kli cheres, an earthenware vessel that's made for food items, the shear, the measurement is that the size of an olive. If it gets such a big hole, then it's not. We don't see it as a vessel anymore because it can't contain anything. It has such big holes, then if it has an olive that size. There, Reb Shimon agrees that then we'll view whatever is inside the flower pot as if it's attached to the ground under it, because now it's not a kli anymore to be masik. It's nothing there, because it's like it's part of the ground. It's an extension, because usually the kli is masik, the vessel, but now we don't see this as a vessel because it's totally tar. That's why, because it has such large holes. So therefore, in that case, he says that he would agree. So I'm malay. So now the elder said to Reb Zera, I don't understand it. Hashto shayush keneged nekev baymanach. Regarding the case of when the root was opposite the hole, and that is, it was directly drawing its nourishment from the ground. I asked you, v'loyimartu libelemidi, you didn't tell me anything, you didn't resolve for me the question. You like thought maybe that Reb Shimon would agree there. Or maybe he won't. Nikiv bechdei taras mibayis, so regarding when the hole is as large as the size that would be matar the kli, isn't it obvious that there you should also wonder that maybe that, because there the hole is not even opposite to shayrish, and still over there you're saying that there he's going to agree that it's going to be considered attached to the ground. So, but regarding something that's even more tempting to say that it's attached to the ground when the hole is facing the ground directly, and still there you said maybe he doesn't agree. So why are you saying over here that he agrees? You should also think that maybe he doesn't agree in this case also. So Amar Bais Abayis says to resolve Reb Zera that it would seem that inconsistent Reb Zera, that even in the case of when the hole was opposite the shayrish, he was not sure that maybe Shimon would not agree, and yet here he says when the hole is the size that it's not a kli anymore that he does agree. So he says v'yit melahot Reb Zera, if you want to say the statement of Reb Zera that there is a case where Reb Shimon agrees by a hole that can be considered now as if that the items inside are attached to the ground, hachi hu d'itma, this is the way you have to say it. Umaydi Reb Shimon, when does Reb Shimon agree when there's a hole in a certain case? Shem nikiv lamatam revis, that if the hole is lower down on the vessel, that there would be less than a revis. That is, if the hole is lower, then and wouldn't be able to hold the revis of the item from where the hole is and lower, then that makes it totally not a keli, because it can't contain even revis. So if you see the measurements that it gets up to there, and this is where revis is, and the hole is lower down, that totally abolishes from a kli, and there is where he would agree that it's not a keli anymore, but that would still make sense that Reb Zera wasn't sure about when the hole is facing directly, because that doesn't make a difference. It's only when you totally negated it from a keli, when there's that the hole is so low down, that's where he would agree that it's attached to the ground. So now the Gemara talks about, once we mentioned regarding abolishing a keli, when it gets a certain size of the hole that we don't view it anymore as a keli, and related to our sugi was, therefore we see it attached to the ground. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Chamish midos beklicheres. There are five different measurements regarding an earthenware vessel that would be taking it lower and lower from the status of a vessel to not having the status of a vessel, but depending for what we're talking about, there's five different madrigas. The first one is nikiv kamitzi mashkev. If the vessel develops a hole, that's the size that liquid would be able to come out from it. That's a very small hole that it could start dripping out. Then the halach is tar milatame gistra. That then the vessel will be tahar from becoming tame as a shard. And that is, if it would be a full vessel, a complete one with no holes, it was a totally full cup, let's say, it would not become tahar if it has just a hole the size of like a pin drop, that liquid could come out. However, if it was what's called a shevikli, a broken vessel, a shard, a gistera, then it's still fit to use it in general. That is, it's still makabel tuma when it's broken, as the Mishnah says, and it's brought down Masechta Schulin, that both the vessel and the walls and all the different parts, that if it could sit, that without being supported with anything else, we say that it's still makabel tuma. Although it's a shard, it's not the full thing, but if it's still usable, it's still makabel tuma. However, if that shard develops a hole the size of what we're calling meitzi mashka, that liquid could drip out, then it's not tum anymore, even from this halacha, what we're calling gistra of a shard, that's makabel tum. And the Gemara later on will explain what's the difference between a shard and a vessel. Either way, they're both usable, so why when the shard develops a small hole, is it to say that it's totally not a keli anymore, but a full vessel, it will still be a keli? Because a shard is not so chashev, it's not so significant to put it away once it even has a hole and to say, oh, let's bring another shard to go ahead and catch the drips coming out of this shard. And therefore, you're going to throw it away. You're not going to want to catch it. However, if you have a full keli, a real beautiful cup, whatever, regular full-fledged pitcher, and it develops a small hole, you're not going to throw away for that because of that small hole. Rather, you're going to say, let's bring a shard and collect the drips coming out of this regular cup. And that's the reason why this halacha, when it's a meitzi mashka, when it develops a hole the size of a liquid could come out, only regarding a shard, a gistra, will it become tar. However, as we mentioned, v'adayin klihu l'kadosh b'mechatas, however, it still has the status of a vessel to sanctify the mechatas. This is the solution that's used from the ashes of the paraduma. That is, if, as we said before, that if it was a full vessel and it developed a size of that only liquid could come out of it, then it still has a full status of a keli, even for the most severe halacha that requires a keli, even to mimikadish the mechatas of the ashes of the paraduma, where you need to have a full kli, as the pasuk Mamidbar Perek Yutes says, Mayim Chayim al keli. You have to put in a live water, which is water from a spring, into a vessel. And definitely, it's still going to mekabel tuma, which is the halacha that applies to a vessel. So we're saying even for the highest level, the gold standard of a keli, which is by the ashes of paraduma, if it was a full-fledged keli, even the size of a hole, if it's liquids coming out, it won't negate it from the halacha of a keli. That was the first level. Something, now we're going larger holes, more severe chesroinus in the keli. But if it develops a hole the size that liquid could come in, that is, if you put the cup and submerged it into water, that it would be coming in through the hole, through that little hole, which is a hole a little bit larger than the size of liquid coming out, then that halacha is tar melekadosh b'mechatas. Then it'll be tar. It won't be viable to sanctify the mechatas in it. And that is Rashi explained. The word tar doesn't mean that it's pure. Rather, it's like the first daf in Shas, and daf brachas, daf beis. It says tihir yoyma, that the day has gone away into oblivion, so to speak. That it's been negated from the Torah of kli regarding the halacha of mechatas. That once it develops that kli, the gold standard is not there anymore, because now liquid could come in, so we don't view it as a keli regarding the ash of the paraduma. However, but it's still a vessel to go ahead and to make the seeds inside of a keli susceptible to tumah. That is, if you have seeds in the keli, we view it as detached from the ground. Even according to the Rabbanan, that they say when you have a perforated flower pot, that then we view it as connected. However, this flower pot, even though it has a small hole the size that liquids could come in, that's not big enough for it to be considered attached to the ground, because that doesn't get the moisture and this nourishment from the ground. And therefore, for that regard, it's still a keli to be masig, and it will view the zroim detached, and therefore their road to be mekabel tumah. The third madrig is nikiv kasherish katan. If it develops a hole the size of a small root, which is more than the size of liquids coming into it, then the halacha is tar melahakshav izram. then it's not even susceptible for the seeds inside to be mekabel tumah, because according to Rabbanan, that is, as we said, is considered a otzis nalk of a perforated plot, flower pot. However, v'adayin kli hu lekabel b'zeisim, but it's still considered a vessel that it could receive olives, because it doesn't have the holes that big. Olives will stay in it, which is the shear of tumah for all kli cheres, for all earthenware pots. If it's made for food, a general pot or cup or whatever it is, as long as it wasn't designated for pomegranates, it will still be mekabel tumah, even if it has the holes the size of a small root, because olives could stay in it, and that's the size that we need for it to be mekabel tumah, to be considered a keli. However, if it goes to the next level, the fourth madrig, nikiv kameitzi zesim, that if it develops a hole the size of an olive, then tar mekabel bei zesim, then the vessel will be tar from accepting olives, and that is, it won't be mekabel tumah anymore. We don't view this as a keli, because a regular kli cheres, the shear is, it can't have holes the size of an olive or bigger, because that's what we designate that regular kalim are used for, food items that size. And therefore, if it was tameh, and now it developed a hole the size of a size, it's tar. We don't view it as a vessel anymore. It can't be mekabel the tumah that goes to vessels. However, v'adayin kli hu lekabel yomim, but it's still a vessel to accept pomegranates. And that is, if you go ahead now and you designate it that you want to use it, you can't put in stuff. Everything falls out because it has holes the size of an olive. But you say, hey, I'm going to use it for pomegranates, which are larger than that. Then it's going to mekabel tumah from here on. Or if it was originally designated for pomegranates, then it will not become tahar, even if it develops the size, a hole the size of an olive. The fifth level is nikiv kameitzi yomim. If it develops a hole the size of a pomegranate, then tar meklum. Then it's tahar from everything that is from the status of keli. However, Rashi does explain that if you go ahead and now and you designate it, you say you want to use it as a shard, as a gistra, then it will be mekabel tumah of gistra, because as long as it's viable to do something with it, then it's still considered a receptacle in that fashion. However, regarding the halachas of keli, that's the fifth level. For nothing will it be fit to be used as a keli. However, vim hukav tzamid pasal, if you surrounded the keli with a sealed cover, and that is if, let's say, it's in the oil hames, it's in the tent where the corpse is, tumah does not enter through the hole, and it saves everything that's inside from mekabel tumah, we view it as in a separate area, then it's achi epochis ru, but then it's until at least a majority of the cover is broken off. Because the pasuk says, kol kli pesuach, every open keli that's inside the tent where the corpse is, will be mekabel tumah. That the word pesuach is the terminology of through the pesach, only if the tumah enters through the entrance and not through the holes. So even if it has holes, even the size of a pomegranate, and therefore it looks like you could see the stuff inside that it should be mekabel tumah, no. If it's surrounded by a tzamid pasul, that a cover that's sealed around it, even if it has large holes until the majority of it is broken off, that we'll see already as a pesach, as an opening, not as a hole. And only then will mekabel tumah from the tumas of oil. So Amar Basri, Basri argues a little bit on this five levels that Rav had said. He says, Shemati, I heard that kli cheres shiur kameitzi yomim, that the earthenware vessel, the shear is not like Rav has said, the size of an olive, but rather the size up until when it will be considered a regular keli of mekabel tumah, up until the size of a pomegranate. That people use it for pomegranates, and therefore, even if it develops a hole the size of an olive, it's still going to mekabel the regular tumah of tumas keli. So Amalei Rav said to him, Shemalei shemate el b'mukav tumah pasam. Maybe this that you heard, that the shear by a kli cheres is the size of a pomegranate, that wasn't talking about for the regular status of a keli. That was talking about when it's surrounded with what we said is a sealed cover. And regarding that if it develops a hole the size of a pomegranate, then it won't save anymore from the tumas of oil. But maybe you agree to me that regular, not in the tumas of oil, for a regular keli, if a sheretz touches it, then the halacha is regarding the size of an olive, but larger than that, it will become tar. But then the Gemara asks, how could Rav resolve that with his opinion, say that it was talking about regarding the halacha of tzamid pasul, that sealed cover, that for that it's the larger size of a pomegranate? We just said that Rav said that regarding the sealed cover, it's not enough to develop a hole the size of a pomegranate. It has to be until the majority of it is opened up. So how could he say that you heard the pomegranates related to the halacha of tzamid pasul? And I think Gemara says, loikash, it's not difficult. I'll continue on to the top of the tzad, develop a med aleph, habiravivi, bahabazutri. When did he say, as we mentioned before, that has to be the majority of it is broken off? That's talking about a large keli. This that he said, that it's enough, if it has a hole the size of a pomegranate, that it won't be a keli anymore, that's talking about a small keli. And a small keli, already the hole the size of a pomegranate is already big enough to be mevatel, and therefore it's not a contradiction. Rabbi said, really don't argue on me. And you agree that a regular keli is batel the size of an olive. And as you said, a pomegranate was regarding a small keli. If it has a hole the size of a pomegranate, it's already not going to be a keli to save from the tum and the oil, and it's not going to have the halacha of tum and pasul anymore. It's similar to when a larger keli, the majority breaks off, it's considered that the tum is coming into the pesach, the opening, and not into a hole.